2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Lord, I'd just like to thank you for this morning. Thank you for this opportunity to gather in your name. I just lift these praises up to you that you'd be honored and glorified. I ask for wisdom, that you'd give me the words that you want spoken. And I thank you for your Son and all his glory. In his name, amen. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 says, "So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body." 2 Peter 3, chapter 1 through 2 says, "Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles." Last year I stood up here for New Year's and talked about, you know, why it might be important to do a New Year's resolution, and found in Scripture that there are things about striving for perfection in that. And it's not a bad thing to strive to be in Christ in his perfection. This last year seemed to have gone by so fast, even faster than I can remember. As I was putting our photo collage together, which maybe some of you got, I was surprised in how many things we did last year. And I was kind of surprised, and at the same time, it reminded me of why I was so tired. But it got me to think, you know, these were just the tip of the iceberg of some of the memories that Nanette and I had over the last year. Which turned me to provoke certain emotions like joy and wonderment, which also in turn provoked a response, which was thankfulness. At the same time, when I was doing that, my boss gives me an article in the newspaper about a pastor who doesn't celebrate Christmas. And he throws me the article and says, "See, one of you kind don't celebrate Christmas." About that. And I was just kind of wondering why people are so hostile towards Christmas. There. And I'm not going to stand here today to convince you that Christmas is a celebration to celebrate every year or anything like that, but it just kind of got me to think on why and what those things are for. I know the pagan history behind it, and I could understand their point of view on some of the things there. At the same time, it was like our family got together. It wasn't December 25th, it was December 8th, and we celebrated Christmas as our family got together. And that Sunday morning, I talked a little bit about Isaiah and how, you know, "Unto us a child will be born, his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God." And we focused on that wonderment. And Fritz made a comment on how Wyatt, when he walked into the room and he saw the Christmas tree, he was just, wow, he was just in wonder. You know, and Tricia made a comment saying that's how we're supposed to be, you know, when it comes to the things of Christ, you know. But, so, there again, this isn't a thing about Christmas and why we have Christmas trees and all that type of thing, but more like memories, memorials, and why we have that. There's a secular song out right now by Bon Jovi, comes to mind, Making a Memory. And I don't know if he's a Christian or not, but I don't even know what the song is really about, but just that title, Making a Memory, on that. I think about it. Nanette and I have a lot of memories. Some we can share, which we have, and some that are just memories just for us. They create emotions. But at the same time, are those emotions enough? This is going to be more of a word study today. There isn't just one section of verse, but looking at many references in Scripture. And I will try to show you why it is important to remember. The first scripture, the one that kind of started me on this journey, was found in Joshua 4:7. It says, "Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever." And it kind of got me thinking. I'm like, 12 stones set in the side of the Jordan for the children to remember on that. Got me to think of how that is important. One of the things I was thinking of is how neat it is for if a child was to come by, and I know the children and generations to come, we're considered children as well, but just as in a child, to go look at, "Dad, what are those stones for?" What the response would be. You know, what the response would be, what it should be, is who God is. What He has done for us. And how horrible it would be if the dad said, "I don't know." Or what's even worse, what if he gave the wrong answer? What if he gave Joshua all the credit? There. A memorial for the children of Israel forever. A memorial for God's faithfulness, where God dries up the path, where He showed His mighty presence and worthiness by His miracle. This is a little bit different than going to the Grand Canyon and going like, "Wow, God is the creator." You know? Or seeing, you know, I go to Yosemite a lot and go, "Wow, I can see where God created this, and I feel that presence because I know that He is a mighty God and He created the earth and the things around us." This was a specific memorial of what God did, a specific point in time. We remember things for all kinds of reasons. It might recall something, like to take a test, to show up on work on time, to take out the trash, or remember a birthday, or even more important, an anniversary. And these, again, are not bad things. Matter of fact, they're good to remember those things. But the point is remembering enough? When we talk about remembering as described in Scripture, it extends far beyond just a simple recall. It is more of a comprehensive range of human experiences for the purpose of mixing faith and life, for the purpose of complete obedience to God. Remembering God's faithfulness in the past, what we know He can do, will help us with our present circumstances, where life meets with faith. And of course, one of the more prominent memorials in the Old Testament is the Passover. Exodus 12:14 says, "So this day shall be you a memorial, and you keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance." And I think about that, and I remember I have some people that are Jewish that keep that Passover tradition. and even some of the offices that Nanette worked in. But you would ask them what that was for, and sometimes they would say, I don't know, or they just did it because it was a tradition. So they lost the whole meaning behind it there. I go, how sad. I think of memorials as we observe today, like Pearl Harbor Day. I remember that because that's my birthday. I don't remember the actual day and what the meaning of it is. I know it's supposed to live in infamy, but it was 20 years before I was born. But there is a memorial for that. It was more of a man-made memorial. The one that's more recent is 9/11, happening within my lifetime. There's a Ground Zero memorial. But was it God ordained? No. Was it a memorial that reminds us of who God is, what He has done? I remember some of the questions during that were floating around that time. Where is God in all this? Why would God allow this? And those are good questions for people that are seeking the truth on that. But was it just man trying to provoke other men to unite, to have a common bond? But if you think about Passover meal, or even the stones that the 12 men picked up, as memorials, that represents some sort of deliverance or salvation. Which, if you think of the Passover, every sense is involved. You have touch, you have hearing, you have taste, sound, even emotional responses on that. Which links the person with the past and provokes or even stimulates faith or a faithful living. A reverence for the past will always produce relevance in the presence. Those are just some examples on there, but there are other examples of remembering that you can find, like in prayers. Romans 1:9 says, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." It's a reminder of what other believers need. Written reminders are also invaluable when it comes to provoking memories, such as found in Malachi 3:16 says, "Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before Him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on His name." And at the same time, aren't we glad that we have the Holy Scripture to remind us of how to live? There. If you study the cultural times of biblical times, you'll see that there are a lot of physical objects around them to help in the aid of remembering things they are to remember. I look at that today, and I look at when I'm even driving down the road and how I see bumper stickers. You know, God is my co-pilot, or God hasn't finished with me yet. Or I see the truth symbol swallowing up Darwin. You know, at first I think there was a self-righteous part of me saying, well, I don't need those to remember that. But after doing a study like that, I can understand why people want to be reminded of that. The other thing about how pastors or ministers sometimes wear that collar, that white collar, as though they're owned by God, a constant reminder of who they are. There. I think about how fragile my mind is and how I can't remember everything. And I always need reminders. I even write myself notes. I don't always remember to look at the notes, but I there. But where do we stand in Christ is a good thing to remember. Not only is it important to remind or to be reminded of the things of God, but it is very bad to forget the things of God. We don't want to forget what the Lord has done or who He is. Psalms 103:2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His blessings and benefits." Look what's found in Judges 3:7. "So the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God and served the Baals and Asherahs." If we forget God's law, it will result in disobedience or defeat. Malachi 3:16 says again, "Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name." And Judges 8:34, "Thus the children of Israel did not remember the Lord their God, who had delivered them from the hands of their enemies on every side." These are just a few verses here that we'll just read. I won't comment on them, but maybe they'll stimulate the reasons on why we're not to forget or to remind us of who God is. Nehemiah 9:16 says, "But they, our forefathers, became arrogant and stiff-necked and did not obey your commands. They refused to listen and failed to remember the miracles you performed among them. They became stiff-necked and in their rebellion appointed a leader in order to return to their slavery. But you are a forgiving God, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. Therefore, you did not desert them, even when they cast out themselves an image of a calf and said, 'This is your God, you who brought you up out of Egypt,' or when they committed awful blasphemies." Isn't that amazing? Not only did they remember who God was, but they willingly blasphemed him. It's like they knew it, but they said, "No, this is the one." Right there. And the Bible strongly cautions against forgetting the guidelines of worship. Numbers 16:36 says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Tell Eleazar, son of Aaron, the priest, to take the censers out of the smoldering remains and scatter the coals some distance away, for the censers are holy. The censers are the men who sinned at the cost of their lives. Hammer the censers into sheets to overlay the altar, for they are presented before the Lord and have become holy. Let them be a sign to the Israelites.' So Eleazar, the priest, collected the bronze censers brought by those who had been burned up, and he had them hammered out to overlay the altars. As the Lord directed them through Moses, this was to remind the Israelites that no one except a descendant of Aaron should come to burn incense before the Lord, or he would become like Korah and his followers." As a reminder, that was made. And here is a reminder of those who would scheme against God's people, found in Esther 9:24. "So the Jews agreed to continue the celebration they had begun, doing what Mordecai had written to them. For Haman, son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of all the Jews, had plotted against the Jews to destroy them and had cast the pur, that is, the lot, for their ruin and destruction. But when the plot came to the king's attention, he issued written orders that the evil scheme Haman had devised against the Jews should come back into the own head, and that he and his sons should be hanged on the gallows. Therefore, these days were called Purim, from the word pur, because of everything written in this letter, and because of what they had seen and what had happened to them. The Jews took it upon themselves to establish a custom that they and their descendants and all who joined them should without fail observe these 2 days every year in the way prescribed and at the time appointed. These days should be reminded and observed in every generation by every family and in every province and in every city. And these days of Purim should never cease to be celebrated by the Jews, nor should the memory of them die out among the descendants." I don't know if they still celebrate that, not or what they call it, but really. But that's cool. But I also think, too, about how it was a time. It was a day. You know, a lot of times we say, well, we celebrate Christmas every day. And that's something that's good on there. But there is a time allotted for celebrations and a time to remember things that the Lord has done for us. And here's one that I found that was interesting. Listen to this one. Numbers 5:11. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, if a man's wife goes astray and is unfaithful to him by sleeping with another man, and this is hidden from her husband, and her impurity is undetected, since there is no witness against her and she has not been caught in the act, and if feelings of jealousy come over her husband and the suspects his wife and she is impure, or if he is jealous and suspects her even though she is not impure, then he is to take his wife to the priest. He must also take an offering of a tenth of an ephah of barley flour in her behalf. He must not pour oil on it or pour incense on it, because it is a grain offering for jealousy, which is a reminder offering to draw attention to guilt." Which is kind of interesting. I'm like, who needs to be reminded of guilt? There. I would think that would be kind of interesting if somebody went into a psychologist right now and says, "Well, here, take this, just to remind you that you're guilty." You know, it just wouldn't work today, would it? At the same time, aren't we glad that we're on this side of Christ? That we don't have to be constantly reminded of our guilt. Needless to say, God does not take remembering lightly. Right there. And God is not satisfied with a half-hearted response to remembering. Now, there are over 165 verses in the scripture that just have the word remember, depending on what version you talk about. There's even more if you take the words remembrance or memorial and that type of thing. I'm just going to read a handful of them here to you, hopefully maybe to provoke you to look back at what the context is. Some of them are straightforward, but it's really to ask you, do you remember? Remember. If somebody asks you, do you remember this? But these are actually words that have the word remember. Do you remember this one? Genesis 9:15 says, "And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, that the water shall never again become flood to destroy all flesh. The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." Exodus 28. "Remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy." Numbers 15:39. "And you shall have the tassel that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord, and do them, and that you may not follow the harlotry of which your own heart and your own eyes are inclined, and that you may remember and do all my commandments, and be holy for your God." Psalm 27 says, "Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord." Luke 1:72, "To perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant." Here's one. Remember Lot's wife? I always remember that one because I remember hearing a sermon about how a pastor always looked at his congregation and he was always looking back and so looking at the clock to see what time it was to go. So we put a sign up there, said, "Remember Lot's wife." So that way everybody looked back at the time, they'd always see that sign. Luke 23:42, "Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." What was the response to that? "Yeah, truly, truly, I say, this day you will be in paradise." "He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee?" Luke 24:6. John 15:20 says, "Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecute me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also." John 16:4. "But these things I have told you, what then, what when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning, because I was with you. Acts 20:35. I have shown you in every way, by laboring like this, that you must support the weak. And remember of the Lord, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Romans 11:18. Do not boast against the branches, but if you boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. 1 Corinthians 11:2. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all the things and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you. Galatians 2:10. They desired only that we should remember the poor, the very thing which I was eager to do. Ephesians 2:11. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called circumcised by those who called themselves the circumcision that done in the body by the hand of men, remember that at the time you were separated from Christ, excluded from citizens in Israel and foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with his commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. Do we remember that? Timothy 2:8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead. Hebrews 10:17 says, then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Hebrews 13:7 says, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, consider the outcome which were spoken by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, what's the most memorable one in the New Testament? 1 Corinthians 11:24. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant of my blood. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Remember. I see some of you guys taking notes. Probably because you want to remember. There. Others have better memories than others. Sometimes it seems like that when you're in a conversation, it's a battle between who's got a better memory than others. But I'm reminded that it's always good to be reminded. And as Peter says, how I opened up, you know it, but we have to be reminded constantly on who God is. And like renewing our mind, always want to be renewed and to be reminded and who. But it does provoke those responses. That does provoke obedience. That we can remember and not forget. So as we reflect of the past year, what do you remember Christ has done for you? And as the new year goes before us, what is Christ doing for us? Remember in reverence so that you can mix that faith with life for the goal of complete obedience to God, for he deserves all the glory. Amen.